Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again, it's Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetrack. We are so glad you joined us. Steve Post, Pit Road Reporter from Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief, Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd, how are you?
I'm great. Got to be at the racetrack. We had a sunny race day on Sunday, which last week at this time, we did not think we were going to have.
You're the one that started it last week for me. We were talking about travel, and our travel person had us moving out on Monday.
Yes.
And you said, boy, Candace is buttoned up. She's already got us there for when we need to be there. And I said, what are you talking about? Because I don't do the weather thing that much. And so you got me started on this. I'm watching the weather about every 90 minutes, and even up until about 11 o'clock Sunday morning, and then this clouds parted, and we had a beautiful day.
Yeah, as I looked at it Saturday night, we expedited the start of the Xfinity race.
Yep.
Because I thought there might be rain coming, and got all that in, went well. Hey, how about an ARCA race that went green flag to checkered flag? Only break they had was a competition break in the middle.
Yeah, didn't see that coming, that's for sure. Really, really cool. It was here's my take on that, okay? Really good to see. Mm-hmm. For when we know, I know, the ARCA budgets are not good.
Yeah.
And they really, really spent a lot of money on the budgets after Daytona. They crashed a whole lot of cars. I'm telling you, Bill Venturini was in victory lane, and Bill does the traditional kick, kiss of James Finch. I think Bill Venturini was kissing James Finch because all the cars were going to go back in the trailer and he didn't have to cart any in there.
On but it was their great own wheels.
On their own wheels.
Yes.
Yeah. Really, really cool. Fun stuff. A lot of energy, a lot of excitement down there. We had two first-time winners on Saturday. Jake Finch in the ARCA Menard Series, and Jesse Love we saw this coming. Jesse Love picked up the win in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, which was really interesting because I thought it was like deja vu of the Atlanta race. Jesse Love dominated there. I mean, in Atlanta, big country sitting there, Austin Hill sitting there in victory lane, apologizing for beating his teammate because his teammate had the best car all day long. Ran out of gas on a late restart. I don't know that they actually ran out of gas. I think they stumbled because they didn't load enough fuel into the pickup. Jesse Love and Danny Stockman, he was the only one that made it from the lap 69 pit stop. Saved enough fuel, loaded the fuel cell as well as he needed to for the late cautions, and came to victory lane. This kid's pretty good. Obviously, the RCR team and the cars are really good at speedway races, but the kid executed very well as well.
He really does. I first saw him when he was winning ARCA West Championships, and I just have always thought that this is one of those guys that I think we're going to see racing on Sunday somewhere down the road, and he's done nothing since that has convinced me that I'm not wrong in that. I just think that he really is buttoned up. I spent a lot of time with him. He's one of those guys that believes in racing as much as possible, and he races a lot out at Millbridge on Wednesday night just to keep the chops, just keep the skill set up.
Yeah, you know? It's like going to the driving range, right? You're not playing golf, but you're still hitting balls.
Yep.
And you're working on your technique. You're working through those things. Anytime you hop in. Kyle Larson. How many races will Kyle Larson participate in this year?
It will be more than
the 38 in the Cup Series.
Yes, it will be. That is for sure. My gosh, I can't imagine. It's probably going to push 80.
Yeah.
I would guess.
There's one little race up there in Indianapolis.
That one in Indy on May. He's going to do like two in one day. Yeah. The Indy 500. So it is cool. So, so a great day on Saturday. We got that out of the way. We let the rain showers take over on Sunday morning.
Quit raining about 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. Track got all dried up for festivities. Little sprinkle right there as they started their engines.
That was one of those. Here we go again.
But didn't get it wet enough, and we just took off.
On time start. And when we got to the finish of it, it was a wild finish, of course. The last 20, 25 laps, really intense. The chess match at the front of the field is fascinating to me. I had Michael McDowell's pit, so I'm listening to the radio, and you're half a car length up, and you got Brad Keselowski pushing you. The chess match is absolutely fascinating over the end of those races.
What I thoroughly enjoyed, and I think Michael McDowell did everything he had to do.
No.
He did, and they put themselves in the place. But if you go back and watch this, Brad Keselowski controlled the last 15 laps of this race perfectly.
Yes.
And he knew that the position – I just – he's won there six times for a reason. He's one
what
of
is
the
that?
Best.
What
do you, well, he understands it. He this, understands.
It's just a
he
understand it to a different everything. Level. To
yes,
a different level.
And if you watch it, I watched this the last lap again. Just to go back after I watched it live, and I listened to Tyler Reddick Monday on and Danielle Trotta and Larry Maxshock on track. Sirius. And he talked about the four not wanting him to win and backing off, and it wasn't that. If you go back. The four tried to back up because he had a bunch of Fords behind him to build a run at the. Right. They were going to split the two Toyotas.
Yeah.
That was coming because Fords wanted to win.
Right.
And they were going to split him. He just didn't. He's Josh Berry. He's a rookie. Doesn't understand the cup cars as well as a Brad Keselowski.
Yeah.
He went to back up the run. Didn't quite get back where he needed to make the run. Anyway, that one kind of came, but it didn't come with a bunch of momentum. Brad Keselowski spent the last 15 laps seeing how far he needed to back Michael up to make the run to be in the right position getting into turn three. And we saw it with like 12 to go. I heard Dave Moody saying, and Tyler Reddick's out front. He's clear. And then here comes McDowell. It was Brad playing the chess game of understanding how far he had to back the run up, how big a run he had to have to get him, not only McDowell clear, but him clear. Because once he got him clear, then, he controls the race. And right. He did a phenomenal job of it. Made a move to the top. Michael came to block it, which I, with all sincerity, I believe Brad's right turn right was not about winning the race. It was about getting McDowell out of his room so he could turn the bottom.
Right, exactly.
And he did it. McDowell spun out trying to block it twice. You're coming to the checkered flag. You got to do it.
You got to do it. Yeah, you got to
do
it.
I thought a great chess match, and ultimately, Tyler Reddick comes out on the victory side.
The fascinating thing, and again, I listened to McDowell's radio, turn four. You're too far ahead.
He had nose control of that. He could have lifted Ben on the brakes and he was going to be too far ahead.
Yeah.
Because Brad backed him up.
Brad had spent 15 laps figuring out where he needed to
and
be.
Not only that, Brad got him pushed out and then back and then did what Josh Berry was trying to do. He backed up to the 10 car. And if you looked at it, it wasn't only the 10 car. It was three cars back, all the way back
train,
to Alex Bowman. All that momentum coming and there's just this... There's this big springboard effect, and it gives Brad the momentum to make the move on Michael McDowell. See these wrecks coming, but to watch them, if you go back and rewatch it and watch where the energy moves around that, it's very fascinating to see. And actually, I think you'll get a greater appreciation for what Brad did, although he didn't win, but the moves he made because it's
unreal.
It's all there, and it's not by chance.
No, it's not by chance. Yeah, he understands
that. The good guys understand all that.
Yeah, yeah. So talking about momentum, Michael comes down, throws the block, which breaks Brad's momentum,
yes.
And Tyler Reddick just rolled.
And missed. As McDowell spun up the racetrack, it could have been three inches. But definitely put Tyler in a great position. They were up there in position to do it.
Sure.
And Toyota, you know, everybody talked about fuel mileage racing.
Yeah. Everybody
wants to fix it. And I talking to Letarte on Monday night before we did our Inside the Race piece. And I thought his analysis, he brought up a point I kind of subscribed to. He said, I don't know that NASCAR needs to fix it. I think the teams will. Like, I think if you try to fix it, the teams will take that fix and go make it.
Whatever.
And then we'll go, oh, we're there again. But I thought we saw a glimpse. Toyota made the move.
Yeah,
we were all saving fuel.
Yeah.
We had a caution that came like five laps outside of the fuel window. So they're all trying to save fuel to get there. And Toyota's at the back of the line and not able to move forward. And they bailed off. And a well-planned procedure, a poorly implemented procedure.
Right, absolutely.
They
once they got back on the track, they're wrecking.
But,
yeah.
But I think that you saw a move there that was against the fuel mileage track.
It got everyone's attention. I know that the radio traffic when they came down on the Ford camp and the Chevy camp was like, whoa, what are they doing? What's going on? What are they doing? And to your point, to Steve's point, that might be what we need to do is have a whole lot more what are they doing moments where you think outside of the box a little bit.
And this is a result of Toyota adding Legacy Motor Club.
Because they could do it.
Because they had the count. And that, when I was back in the day, when you, if you go back and look at it, in the heyday of my career, Speedway racing, when we won these places, Team Penske, Stuart Haas, we worked together. We figured out how to get, we had 8 cars was the right number. We didn't want 12 because 12 leaves you stragglers. So we had 8. And then we rolled the RFK cars, you know, Ricky Stenhouse would come into it. We might get 9, but that 7 or 8 number works because if you lose 1 at 8, you get to 7. And
spot.
7 is, you can control them, but you can make speed. So I think they're at a point now that they don't have to play everybody else's game. By adding the legacy cars, they got to a point where they could control their own destiny. And they were in a position to do it. Unfortunately, that tunnel bump out there in turn 3, they were a little too aggressive across it, and it cost them that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yet a Toyota still ends up winning the race.
Yes.
So Tyler Reddick picks up the win, and Billy Scott, always love when Billy Scott's in victory lane. That's a good thing. And there was some other guy in victory lane too.
Some iconic Michael
Jordan guy was down there too. So.
How about Bo? Bo gets carried to. I mean, there will be posters of. There should be for that kid.
Yes. Exactly.
MJ carried me to victory lane.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
pretty impressive.
Big picture stuff. I heard, Michael Jordan winning a race, being in victory lane. Mm-hmm. I actually saw ESPN cover in NASCAR.
It was on PTI, pardon the interruption.
Right, exactly. The Tony Corona.
They don't cover.
Yeah, not at all. They never do. And that's the show I watch. I think they laid it out really well, though. And I'm recounting what they did. They said, we've seen this before. Joe Gibbs won 3 Super Bowl championships, but his passion was NASCAR racing. Mm-hmm. You know, Brad Daugherty, they mentioned Brad Daugherty. North Carolina basketball star, but the passion was racing. Michael Jordan, North Carolina basketball star, passion is racing, and really, really good. It was fun to see that.
And then for the to be the Jumpman branding
on the car.
Oh, what a day.
Yes, they had their cake and ate it also.
Yes,
yes, absolutely. A couple of teams that are digging themselves out that had good finishes. Noah Gregson and Drew Blickenstaff for 3rd place finish. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Mike Kelly 4th place finish. Now, I think Noah's not had a bad year. The problem they have is a 35-point penalty that puts them way behind. Ricky's not had a good year. A year ago, Ricky won the Daytona 500, and we were talking about them hanging in the top 10, hanging in the top 12, hanging in the top 15. They have struggled. The last 6 races, not a finish inside the top 20. One of these things can for these teams, is it possible for this to get some momentum and mojo pointed in the right direction for these teams?
I feel like the Stuart Haas program as a whole, let's go back to Noah and Drew Blickenstaff, but I think, you know, they talked a lot in the offseason about, we're putting the effort in. We don't like where we've been. We've got to be better. We've heard it out of Tony Stewart in quotes. We heard it out of everybody we interviewed here. And I think we're seeing the fruits of the labor. I really, Noah was in a position. Noah just about snookered Brad Keselowski.
I know.
I mean, Noah was in a position that he could have won that race as well, depending on how the McDowell move worked out. But put themselves, Drew does a great job, has done a great job with Eric Amarola in Speedway Racing. Like, he gets that.
Won the Daytona 500 with McDowell.
Yes. Gets the Speedway Racing. And Noah's done a good job. But these two have come together. I get to talk to Ryan Preece every Monday night on Late Shift.
Yep.
And the momentum that this group has built coming forward, both of these guys had those 35-point penalties.
Right.
If you looked at it, Ryan would be 19th in points right now without the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in the 23rd. I think it's 4 spots it cost him. But him and Noah are both kind of recovering from this penalty. And coming forward, it's going to be fun to watch what happens through this summer swing.
Really, truly is. Good stuff, that's for sure. So kudos to those guys. I need to give a shout-out to Anthony Alfredo.
Oh, my goodness. What a great weekend.
What a great weekend.
And we had the Dude Wipes guys up in the booth at Martinsville because they sponsored the Xfinity race there. What a great group of guys. And then they're on board with Anthony both races. Top 6 in both races.
3rd place with R Motorsports and Xfinity Series. 6th place with Beard Motorsports on Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, and Lead Laps.
Yeah.
It's just... what a cool story.
Yeah,
it
really is.
Cool story.
How about Beard Motorsports? One employee, Darren Shaw, the crew chief on that car. And granted, it's a different approach to it. But look what they accomplished on Sunday afternoon. I tell you, I interview Linda Beard every qualifying night at Daytona because whether it's Anthony or Brendan Gaughan, they lock that or Austin Hill, they lock that Beard Motorsports car into the Daytona 500. If you're going to do 4 races a year, lock yourself into the Daytona 500 and give your shot at winning one of these Talladega races. It's a different strategy, but I love it. It really works out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's
good
really
stuff.
Cool. And a great weekend for Anthony and talk to him this week on Late Shift as well. And just what a great guy. what a great guy. He's working hard at it, but got a great relationship with a sponsor that likes him. And it's cool.
Yeah, and it's a sponsor I was talking to. Well, we were talking to we had the Dude Wipe guys in the car, as you mentioned, up at Martinsville. But I was talking to Anthony, the explosion of this. He talked about, they shared with us that they were in an apartment in Chicago when they developed this, okay? Yes. And he said somewhere they were talking about the first pallet that was delivered to the apartment. And there's a pallet of these things in the apartment. Now there's buildings of pallets of these things. Yes. So fantastic. Great, great stuff. A lot of great stories out of Talladega. I think the racing at Talladega is very, very unique. I love the stories that come out of Daytona, though, because everybody works so hard, and some of these guys that work really, really hard got to get a chance to celebrate and stand on the front stretch and crow a little bit. So yeah, really good stuff.
Yeah, the stories out of Speedway Racing are always, always interesting to share and see where they go. It's going to be great to take a look forward. We're 10 races into the season. Got 16 left in the regular season before we set the playoff field.
Yep.
Looking forward from here is a kind of bright future.
That's right. Let's do that. We'll do that in just a moment. Stay with us. Crew Call returns in just a moment.
Hey, everyone. It's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post breaking it down. And Todd, you referenced it before we went to that little pause there. 10 races into the season, what have we learned?
What have we learned? I think there are a few interesting pieces. I think the Camry XSE, everybody was worried at Daytona with qualifying, had a pretty darn good race car. I think the Toyotas as a whole have done a good job. If you look at our points, they're pretty stacked up there. Mm-hmm. I would say that the Fords still have some work to do. They're winless in all three series. All three series?
Yes, all three series.
So far this season. And it's that surprised me. I thought that the Mustang Dark Horse was going to be kind of a turnaround for them. They've been really good at the Speedway races still. I feel like they've failed. I won't say failed. They've lacked to execute all the way to the checkered flag.
At
all three places. I thought the Fords were the best cars at Daytona and Atlanta and here, and they're 0-3. But
yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, the Ford camp across the board, we had that near win for Ryan Sieg at Texas, and the stat was going to be who had Ryan Sieg as the only Ford driver to win. Yeah. You know, I mean, yes. Take that to Vegas and see what you can do. We've got – this is in the not a shocker category. William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, those teams – they just seem to be every style, every type of track we go to. Those teams just seem to be really rolling along. They're atop the point standings. Three wins for Byron, two wins for Danny, for Denny Hamlin. Larson has one win, but umpteen zillion laps led.
531,
or umpteen zillion, whichever it is.
Most of anybody.
They are hitting on all eight cylinders.
Yeah, they are. You look at it. I mean, the Gibbs camp and the Hendrick camp have really done a really good job. Tyler Reddick, our winner this weekend, is their top five in points as well. So it's been interesting to see. I think Ryan Blaney, you know, we talk about championship runs and having slumps afterwards. He's not in a slump. No. He's towing the rope for the Ford camp. He's back there seventh in points, but putting races together, I think, we'll see where it all plays out.
They are doing a good job of cobbling when they need to cobble and scratching and clawing to get in the top five when they need to. They are executing a really good strategy for a team that maybe has got some work to do on their cars, got some car work to do on their equipment. But Jonathan Hassler and Ryan Blaney are making some chicken to use the
chicken
old phrase,
they're
making some chicken
things,
salad
right?
out of other things. They're doing that along the way. That bodes well for they will get their cars better. They will get their cars to the front, and when they do, it's going to be interesting to see where they're at.
I've watched this through many, many years.
We saw a little bit of it last year, as a matter of fact.
Right? Yes. The Fords, where were at this time last year, we were saying the same things.
Yeah.
Then what manufacturer won the championship?
Then we go to Charlotte for the 600, and Blaney wins there. And then it's then Chris Buescher got hot in the summertime, and the next thing you know, they're standing on the front stretch at Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be. I would not write anybody off, and I feel like the Ford Group's going to. I'm not panicked about that.
No.
I just feel like they're at a point that they've been here before. They got work to do.
Yeah.
But they don't lack for people that are willing to put in the effort to make it happen. And I expect that to happen through the next 16 races.
I do too. So let's talk about what's coming up. The next five races, Dover, Kansas, Darlington. We have North Wilkesboro, the all-star race, non-points race, Charlotte, and then Gateway, Worldwide Technology, all oval tracks coming up.
And as we record this, we don't know what the all-star format is. I think that's coming out this week.
Oh, okay. That's right. Oh, that's right. Yes.
I think it may be coming out this week. But,
yes.
But as we record this, we don't know what's going on there. But yeah, but I think, when you look at it, great racetracks coming forward and stuff that you – this is a swing that you've got to figure out your race car.
Bread and butter stuff.
Yes. Yeah. When you go to Kansas, that's going to be a playoff race.
Right.
You go to Darlington, that's leading into, that's another oval that's going to impact some of the playoff stuff. As you look at this, Gateway is a unique racetrack, but there's some of Gateway that kind of applies to that Phoenix place at the end of the year. So, this is a sweep that it's bread and butter. And Charlotte, when I think about Charlotte, I think about how rough it is. And a mile and a half, higher banked, there's a place in the playoffs that's pretty important as well that's kind of rougher. Might be a little bit more desert-y, but
yes.
I think there's a lot of things here that you can bring, that you can kind of help your notebook coming to playoffs.
Coming in there as far as that goes. So we have five ovals coming up, but then when we look at the next five, Sonoma, Iowa, new track for everybody. I mean, we have Xfinity's there. New Hampshire, Nashville, and the street course at Chicago. So we go from five ovals to five, Lord knows what we have there, because it's a little bit of everything coming up.
Yeah, it's in cool racetracks.
Oh, gosh.
And question marks in that. Sonoma's a repave.
That's right.
We think about Sonoma, I think about fuel strategy and saving fuel and how you're going to make that all work out.
And getting that car to power up off from the turns.
Yeah, forward drives.
Forward drive is everything.
Right?
Yeah. New asphalt.
It's a different place now.
Gosh.
I mean, stupid fast lap times when they did the tire test out there. They've had to fix a few things. They've worked on the new asphalt. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. When we talk about new asphalt, going to North Wilkesboro for the All-Star race.
Right.
That's
new asphalt there too,
That's going to be a different environment than what we saw last year. Going to be a couple of new asphalt learning.
It's fascinating time coming up. It really is. I mentioned Iowa as a new racetrack. Chicago Dry would be a new racetrack also, maybe. Fingers crossed. Let's hope.
Yeah, and Iowa's got so much character. We've watched the Xfinity program put on so many good races there. And I'm excited to see what the Cup cars do there. And to your point, we don't know what Chicago street course is like with Outwater on it. We'll see where that show goes. That's one I'm looking forward to as well.
Yeah. Going to be fun. Going to be a fun upcoming period of time. And it all starts this weekend at the Monster Mile in Dover. Todd, you're building a race car to go to Dover. What do you do? What do you need to have? What do you want that car to do? What's the key?
I think I sneak into Hedrick Motorsports and figure out what they're doing.
They're doing,
because they've had a pretty good success there in the past. There's a lot of Jimmy there, but we'll have Jimmy Johnson running this week in the 84 car for Legacy.
To see how he does. Yeah,
that'd be interesting to see how that plays out. But this is a place that when you go to Dover, it's a different racetrack, and some of the drivers that we talked to on Sirius were alluding to this. You'll lay rubber down. It's supposed to be upper 70s and sunny on Sunday is what I'm seeing right now. That trade, as you lay rubber down, the longer runs, you're going to see guys kind of going up the racetrack. You're going to see it widen up. And then we'll get a caution and every bit of that rubber get picked up and it'll go back to being a green racetrack, because it's just a place that you can't keep the rubber in the racetrack. So being able to figure out to keep up with the racetrack as it goes, the transitions in and out of the corners here, just incredible. It's like jumping off a building down in the corner. Then you land there and huge banking, tons of grip. It's one of the most difficult racetracks you go to, and you can't make a mistake because the straightaways are banked 5 degrees too, and very narrow with walls on the inside because the horse track inside of it. It's self-cleaning, but they tend to bounce back up in the racetrack. So it's you have to hit it. Oh, and by the way, into turn three, there's three bumps in there that you just I don't know how to get through them.
They're impossible.
Well, Jimmy Johnson figured
well,
it out.
Well, they're possible. They're possible, but they're a challenge. That's for sure.
Goodness. So it's a very technical racetrack and one that asks a lot out of it. It's not something that's going to help your notebook. I don't feel like there's any place out there.
That was my next point.
There's nothing this applies to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, it used to be in the playoffs as well back in the day.
So
I was kind of glad when it came out because it's so unique.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So it's kind of a one-off deal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and we'll see. We'll see who can perform, who can get their car dialed in, who can execute properly. Pit road there is very, very tight.
It's tight. Very tight. It's slow. But it's so – and they made a move a couple of years ago to – gain a little bit more room there, but it's still really, really tight.
Man, how many times we see cars dinged up there? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You've got to be on your game in every facet at Dover.
Yep. We'll see what happens. That's for sure. Our friends at the Performance Racing Network will have the coverage at Dover this weekend. We'll be back at Kansas next week, but gives us a chance to remind you that each week we have some great programming here on MRN. We have NASCAR Live, the Tuesday night tradition. Mike Bagley and the cast of MRN bring you all the stories. NASCAR Live Wide Open is our podcast version of that. NASCAR Coast to Coast, where we cover the roots of NASCAR racing. Chris Wilner and Kyle Rickey do a great job with that. On Wing Nation, we talk sprint cars, and of course this show is now MRN's Crew Call. And if you like any of the shows, make sure you like the MRN channel. If you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on Spotify or wherever you listen to, like, subscribe, and share this. Share what we do here. We really appreciate it. I also want to remind you of the MRN podcast series, NASCAR Presents 2004 Chasing History. Man, that series, I'm getting people coming up to me because what we do is we have 2024 interviews, 2004 interviews, 2004 race calls, and they're all intertwined to tell the story.
Really cool.
Really, really cool. So a lot of good stuff, that's for sure. So we appreciate all of that, that is for sure. And good times for sure. Todd, always good to hang out, breaking a little bread at Talladega. We had a chance to go break some bread, and you're on with us at Kansas, right?
Yeah, too. I got Kansas and Darlington. So we get a weekend off with Dover. We'll get to watch that one from TV. Not have to live down in the trenches there, but looking forward to the next couple after that.
It'll be great, that's for sure. He's Todd Gordon, I'm Steve Post, and we appreciate you joining us this time for MRN's Crew Call.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.